In episode 1 of this series, the case was made that we stand on the threshold of a radical civilizational change in which the nature of freedom in democratic societies, a system we have lived under for centuries, will be transformed beyond recognition. Where we are currently free to live the lives we choose, go where we please, and behave as we wish, except where our actions are prohibited in law, under this new system we will only be allowed to do the things that we have been given explicit permission to do. The nature of freedom in democratic societies will thus have become inverted, with our cherished and hard-fought-for freedoms being transformed into mere privileges granted to us for compliance and total unquestioning submission to the edicts of those who control the system. As unlikely as it may sound, the first critical step in this radical transformation was the introduction of vaccine passports, for vaccine passports were just the first internationally coordinated attempt to roll out a digital ID platform that itself is designed to rapidly evolve into a social credit system similar to the one that people live under in China today. In this new system, every action will be monitored, scrutinized, and evaluated, and our access to the services essential for life will be determined by our social credit scores. If we allow this system to be introduced, it will be the most significant transformation in human society since the dawn of agriculture. We will have unwittingly crossed the Rubicon into a new dystopian world, and there will be no going back. We will live in what could be described as a techno-feudalistic total surveillance state that will permanently solidify a new caste system with billionaires and technocratic elites at the top as the new techno-feudal lords and everyone else as a surveilled and controlled neo-serf class. It is not an exaggeration to state that such a transformation in the structure of our society will literally herald the end of human freedom for all but those at the top of this permanent and immobile caste system, and, even more significantly, it will fundamentally change the very essence of what it means to be human. But a major question remains to be answered. Why? Why introduce such a dystopian system of surveillance and control, and why attempt to implement it at this particular historical moment? The answer to these questions, together with a more comprehensive description of the structure of this totalitarian control architecture, will be the focus of episode 2. We are all intimately aware of the rapid advancements in technology that have occurred over the past 20 years. Most of us carry devices in our pockets that would have looked like science fiction a couple of decades ago, but the developments we've seen in recent years only hint at what is to come. We are in the midst of a dramatic technological revolution, with multiple exponential technologies mutually reinforcing one another. This revolution will be far more significant than the industrial revolutions of the 18th and 19th centuries, and it will occur over the course of a few decades, not centuries. The exponential rise in computational power, coupled with similar increases in data harvesting technologies and rapid advancements in the field of artificial intelligence, lay at the heart of this revolution and have the capacity to transform our world in ways few of us can begin to imagine. Artificially intelligent, deep learning systems are increasingly capable of outperforming humans in a wide and ever-expanding variety of tasks. Developments in natural language processing and voice recognition mean that these systems can interact with people in ways that are almost indistinguishable from flesh and blood humans. Advances in image recognition mean that these systems have the capacity to interpret the world around them and outperform humans at even highly skilled tasks such as radiological diagnosis and the identification of cancerous tumors. Multi-layered neural networks, modelled on the way our brains process data, allow these systems to interact with novel environments and successfully navigate situations that they have not previously encountered. Self-driving cars are the perfect example of this. These emerging artificially intelligent systems, coupled with advanced robotics and sensors, are about to replace human beings right across the workforce in numbers that are hard to comprehend. Although estimates vary, approximately 50% of the jobs in advanced economies will be able to be performed by AI by the middle of the 2030s. And as the technologies continue to improve, that number is only set to increase significantly in the decades ahead. These transformations in the workplace are not limited to low-skilled jobs and are completely agnostic to the colour of someone's collar. Radiologists, copywriters, legal secretaries, drivers, graphic designers and artists, computer programmers and even doctors and surgeons are in the firing line as these intelligent systems are rolled out across the economy and take on ever more complex and challenging tasks. This technological revolution will not create more jobs than it destroys, as some techno-optimists may argue, and the tsunami of technological unemployment does not lay far off in the future. It's happening right now, and by the middle of the 2040s, when children born today are about to begin their working life, 75% of today's jobs may have been automated out of existence, with comparatively few new jobs created to replace them. It is not difficult to grasp the incredibly destabilizing impact that this surging wave of technological unemployment and the emergence of a vast, permanent, and ever-increasing economic underclass could have on society. increasing inequality, deepening polarization, rising crime, social unrest, and authoritarian crackdowns seem all but certain if we continue on our current trajectory. But although the scale of these challenges and the pace of these seismic shifts may come as a surprise to many, it has not crept up on those who sit in the boardrooms of global corporations, work in the higher echelons of government, or who congregate at the annual meetings of business leaders and political power brokers at events like the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. In fact, the impending societal transformation has been obvious to anyone willing to look closely at the trajectory of our technological developments for at least the past two decades. For instance, Jeremy Rifkin's book, The End of Work, published over 25 years ago in 1995, clearly outlined how advances in computing power and the emergence of increasingly intelligent machines would lay waste to entire categories of employment, stating then that 75% of jobs were simple repetitive tasks and therefore extremely vulnerable to automation. Their introduction was hardwired into the dynamics of capitalism and the market system. The only question that remained was how to manage the enormous societal dislocation that would occur as a huge percentage of the population was exiled into permanent economic irrelevance. Armed with such foreknowledge of the transformation ahead, I simply ask you, is it not obvious that those who possess power and influence would have been developing their plans for the future of this radically different world? Of course, these technological developments are not a force of nature, and humanity could collectively choose how they are utilized. These technologies could be deployed in such a way as to benefit all human beings, heralding an age of abundance, instead of concentrating unimaginable wealth and power in the hands of those who win the AI arms race. The enormous productive capacities of these technologies could be shared more evenly amongst humanity instead of being hoarded by the few, thus liberating many from dangerous toil and soulless drudgery, finally reducing the length of the working week and freeing us to pursue our passions, indulge our creative impulses, and enrich our human connections. But it seems clear that those in positions of power, those who have the most to gain from this technological revolution, have chosen a different path. They have decided to reap all the benefits of the revolution for themselves, further consolidating the wealth and power, while simultaneously utilising these new technologies to control the masses as we transition to a workerless post-labour world. Artificial intelligence, voice and facial recognition, big data and psychographic profiling, attention harvesting and behavioural modification technologies are all being deployed to surveil and control the ever-increasing masses of humanity that will be excluded from the potential benefits these technologies could bring. In so doing, our new feudal overlords will permanently solidify their position at the pinnacle of the new social hierarchy and simultaneously create a new global totalitarian surveillance state from which there will be no escape. The historical confluence of an approaching tsunami of technological unemployment, coupled with the simultaneous development of technologies that can automatically surveil, manipulate and control billions of people, is a major reason, although not the only reason, why this dystopian techno-totalitarian control system is being rolled out at this particular moment in time. AI automation and the post-labour world is an extremely important topic we will return to later, for it has implications that go far deeper and are far more disturbing than the technological unemployment and the ubiquitous surveillance described here. But for now, let's move on. The second factor that is being used as a reason, or perhaps more accurately, a justification for the development of this new system of surveillance and social control, is the environment. Now, it should be painfully clear to anyone that humanity's relationship with the natural world is radically out of alignment. The litany of damage we are causing to this beautiful jewel of a planet is truly shocking, and the scale and breadth of the problem can feel overwhelming. Overfishing and microplastics in the oceans, the extinction of countless species, the die-off of insects and pollinators, widespread deforestation and the loss of biodiversity, the silent but catastrophic destruction of our topsoils through the use of harmful pesticides, glyphosate and unsustainable industrial agricultural practices, the desertification of vast swathes of our once fertile land, and the widespread use of hormone-disrupting chemicals in our plastics that leach into the environment and into our bodies. The disturbing list goes on and on. With these misaligned and unsustainable practices, we are seeing a dramatic rise in the sicknesses of affluence, increases in a raft of seemingly unrelated illnesses and allergies, and a simultaneous deterioration in the ecological systems that all earthlings, both humans and animals, depend upon. It is clear that we cannot continue on this trajectory for much longer without catastrophic consequences. We have arrived at this point not because humans are a cancer on the earth or some sort of virus, as some amongst the elite would have you believe, but instead because we have become estranged from nature and forgotten what a thousand generations before us knew in their bones, that we are an integral part of the natural world, different from the other earthlings we share this planet with, primarily in our incredible tool-making abilities and the commensurate capacity we possess to transform the world around us. We are not separate from the natural world, nor do we have dominion over it. We are just one miraculous strand in the multitudinous web of complex connections that shape the planet we call home, completely dependent upon the bounteous, self-renewing systems of nature. To solve these complex environmental problems, we must again come into harmony with nature and see the natural world as having intrinsic, innate worth rather than only for its utilitarian value as a resource to be exploited, monetized, and then discarded. Contrary to what the doomsayers will have you believe, and despite the scale of the challenges, we have everything we need to do this. For although we live on a finite planet, the two resources that are most critical to this transformation have no such limitations: our ingenuity and our adaptability. Utilizing our modern technologies and guided by ancestral wisdom, we can remove our dependencies on pesticides and poisons and instead deploy regenerative agricultural practices to heal our soils, our ecosystems, and ourselves in the process. We can free ourselves from the empty and unfulfilling hamster wheel of consumer fetishism, end the illogical and egregious practice of planned obsolescence, and transform our single-use, fast-fashion, throwaway culture into one that values connection, community, and integrity. And whether you see global warming or its rebranded variant, climate change, as an existential threat predominantly caused by the burning of fossil fuels, or conversely as a largely natural, cyclical phenomena that humans are having little meaningful impact upon, it seems somewhat archaic that in this world of particle accelerators, space telescopes, and supercomputers, we still derive most of our light, heat, and energy in the same way our ancient ancestors did, by simply burning combustible materials. Albeit instead of wood, dung, and animal fat, we now burn ancient, energy-dense hydrocarbons. Surely we can do better than this. After all, there is a vast fusion reactor in the sky, known as the Sun, that provides more energy than we could ever need, and the technology to collect, store, and utilize that energy is becoming cheaper and more efficient with every year that passes. If just a fraction of the resources currently spent on developing and deploying high-tech weapons of war was diverted to further improvements in the generation and storage of solar energy, we could shift to a clean, reliable, and most importantly, decentralized energy system that would no longer pump particulates into the air, risk devastating deep ocean oil spills, or catastrophic nuclear meltdowns. That's not to say that we could do this overnight, or that it will be easy, or that continued technological advances will not be required to improve efficiency and drive down costs. And of course, we should not make such rapid, radical, and one-dimensional changes so as to disrupt the economic and agricultural systems we all depend upon, and risk widespread deprivation, conflict, or starvation. Nor should we greenwash over the downsides, dangers, and complexities of transforming our energy infrastructure. But making these changes is completely within our capabilities, and that's without even considering the exotic energy generation technologies that are almost certainly locked away in black projects, funded by our taxes, which have never seen the light of day. But once again, rather than take such a life-sustaining and life-affirming path, the elites have seized upon the environment, and anthropogenic climate change in particular, as the perfect way to justify and extend their control agenda. With human-generated CO2 characterized as the prime driver of climate change and posing an existential threat to humanity, the case is being made that every aspect of our lives must therefore be monitored and controlled to curtail its production. But just as vaccine passports were deceptively promoted as an essential tool in the fight against COVID, but were really just a Trojan horse used to introduce a digital ID scheme, carbon credits will soon be rolled out, marketed as a critical mechanism in the battle against climate change, but in reality, they will just be another mechanism for social control and surveillance. Through this sleight of hand, the environment is being weaponized and turned against us by those who wish to create this new totalitarian system. Tied to the vaccine passport digital ID system, personal carbon credits will be issued to nearly every human being on the planet, the exact amount you are allocated being dependent upon your social credit score. The freedoms we have all enjoyed for all our lives, the freedom to live the lives we choose, go where we wish, enjoy our leisure time as we desire, and even eat what we want will, in an instant, have been taken from us. We will be little more than livestock, tagged and monitored, prodded and punished, grateful for whatever scraps of food and freedom we are given by our masters. However, digital IDs, social credit scores, and carbon credits do not complete the architecture of technocratic control that is planned for us. There is one further element of the envisioned system that is missing: a new type of money. The global financial system we have lived under for the past 50 years, a fiat-based money system built upon the US dollar as the global reserve currency and the de facto currency of global trade, is rapidly coming to an end. As the elements of the new surveillance and control architecture described here are maneuvered into place, the current financial system has consequently lived beyond its usefulness for those who have ambitions to reshape the world. The financial system we live under today is a vast collective illusion. Nearly every dollar, pound, euro and yen in existence today is created out of nothing, simply conjured into existence by typing on a computer keyboard, when commercial banks make loans to individuals and businesses, or when central banks buy bonds from governments and the financial sector. It is nothing more than a giant Ponzi scheme of unimaginable proportions, and, like every Ponzi scheme, sooner or later it has to collapse. This is a mathematical certainty. Each round of quantitative easing, a euphemism for creating new money out of nothing, may appear to breathe life into the system for a while, but like injecting a dying patient with adrenaline, the boost is only temporary and it makes the inevitable demise all the more certain. The tens of trillions of dollars, euros and pounds created during COVID as businesses were forced to close and whole countries were locked down has served to prime the charges and seal the fate of the financial system. Perhaps, along with the introduction of the digital ID system, that was the part COVID was always supposed to play. The inflation we are seeing around the world today is the first sign of this impending crisis, and despite what the talking heads on the news will have you believe, it is not primarily caused by global supply chain issues or Putin or the war in Ukraine, but because trillions of dollars, euros and pounds were created out of nothing and pumped into the global financial system. It is not cyclical. It is not transitory. It is not a blip. It's systemic, and the economic convulsions we are beginning to witness are going to get a lot worse. At some point in the coming months or years, when the stage is set and the technical infrastructure is ready to go, the global financial system will be consciously and deliberately imploded. Like knocking over the first domino in a world record attempt, a big global player or G7 country will get into trouble. Automated trading systems around the world, like BlackRock's Aladdin, will start liquidating trillions of dollars of assets, and the contagion will be unstoppable. As people rush to pull their money from the banks, their accounts will be frozen. ATMs will be emptied and food shelves will soon follow. In our just-in-time, high-tech, interconnected world, the right push on the right weak link at the right moment will be enough to initiate a collapse, not a recession or a depression, but a cascading systems failure. A controlled demolition, if you will, of the financial system and the global economy that relies upon it. But to what end? Why deliberately bring down the whole house of cards? The goal is the creation of a completely new global financial system based upon new digital-only currencies that will enable complete surveillance and control of the most intimate aspects of our lives and, more importantly, demand our absolute compliance. To achieve that end, the old system must be destroyed, but this is a small price to pay for those who want to create a new world out of the rubble of the old. When the chaos has unfolded for long enough, and fear and despair have overwhelmed all but the most grounded and prepared, the new solution to the manufactured problem will be revealed to the desperate masses. Central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs as they are termed, will be rushed to market at warp speed as a solution to all our woes. A new system, a global reset, salvation from our far-sighted financial overlords who just happen to have a pre-prepared solution to the global financial contagion. To sweeten the deal and ensure swift and widespread uptake, Universal Basic Income, or UBI, a monthly allowance issued to everyone to cover their basic material needs, will be offered to all those who subscribe to the new system. As with the vaccinations before, for the sake of safety and security, many people will take the bait. Despite superficial appearances, this digital money is not a new version of your bank card or Apple Pay. It possesses novel features that make it the perfect tool to permanently solidify the system of control in the hands of our would-be financial masters and technocratic elites. First, the new money is only digital, with cash completely abolished. Therefore, if you want access to the basic necessities of life, you will have no choice but to participate in the system and have your every action recorded. Second, these digital currencies are programmable, meaning that unlike the money we use today, this digital money can be programmed to only be used to purchase certain types of goods and services. This will undoubtedly be linked to your social credit score, so that compliant individuals with sufficiently high social credit scores may be able to purchase certain luxury items, whereas individuals with low social credit scores will be restricted to only spending their digital money on basic necessities. Third, this programmability can extend to the ability to add an expiry date to the money, meaning that once you receive your allocated UBI, it must be spent within a matter of days or weeks. Ostensibly, this design feature is to increase the velocity of money through the economy, keeping the wheels of business turning. But in practice, it will simply prevent people from accumulating any assets and thereby securing some form of limited independence. And finally, if you do not demonstrate the requisite level of compliance and conformity demanded of the new techno-feudal serfs, your access to the financial system and the necessities of life can be withdrawn instantaneously at the touch of a button. With the introduction of digital money, the picture of this new dystopian architecture of totalitarian technocratic control comes into sharp focus. the digital ID is the critical core of the system, linking all other aspects of the surveillance and control architecture into a unified whole. The new digital-only currency is facilitating the monitoring, evaluation, and control of everything we consume, and the social credit score assigned to each person used to determine the privileges that they have access to, the amount of resources they are allowed to acquire, and the carbon credits they are allocated. Overlay this system with ubiquitous surveillance of everything, literally everything we do, both on and offline, and it becomes the perfect feedback loop for behavioural modification and operant social conditioning. Of course, these restrictions will not apply to our new feudal overlords, the billionaires and technocratic elites and their mouthpieces in the media and government. They will not be required to have their regular mRNA shots or have restrictions on where they can travel, what they can purchase and the food they can eat. And they will not have to submit completely to the will of the technocratic state in order to get access to their monthly UBI tokens. That's just for the rest of us. That's just for the serfs. At this juncture, it is important to briefly return to the topic of AI automation, for this has other deeply disturbing implications that are critically important to understand. Throughout history, the ruling classes have had a dependency relationship on the greater mass of humanity. The aristocracy and the feudal lords needed the peasantry to work in their fields and fill the ranks of their armies when called upon. And the industrialists that followed them needed the lower classes to fill their factories, man the production lines, and take their places in the mechanized armies of the 20th century. But in the new world that is fast emerging, where robots and artificially intelligent systems are capable of performing ever-increasing swathes of what was once reserved for human beings, the dependency relationship between the elites and the masses will finally be severed. The techno-feudal elites in this new world will simply have no use for the billions of marginalized and technologically excluded flesh and blood humans. Given the utter disdain that the wealthy and powerful have repeatedly shown towards the masses throughout the ages, with hundreds of millions of young men callously sent to their slaughter in pointless wars of conquest and extraction, where the civilian populations of entire cities have been incinerated with firebombs and atomic weapons, and tens of millions starved to death during great leaps forward or murdered en masse by their governments in vicious ideological purges, this changed relationship should give anyone with even a cursory understanding of history cause to be profoundly concerned. For although the development of an automated total surveillance and control architecture, as described here, may be an efficient and cost-effective short-term mechanism to keep a lid on the social turmoil that this technological revolution will bring, it may not turn out to be the elite's ultimate solution to the perceived problem of a rising mass of humanity that has suddenly become surplus to their requirements and a drain on the precious resources that they covet. Once we exchange our individual freedom for the illusion of security, and relinquish sovereignty over our own flesh and blood, who knows what the next step in their anti-human, anti-freedom, technocratic agenda will be? I suggest we don't wait to find out. So given the gravity of what I'm suggesting, once again, I ask you to pause for a moment and reflect deeply upon the world that is described here. Imagine the experience of living in such a world where every action is monitored and controlled. A world in which where you can travel, the food you can eat, and what you can spend your money on is completely dependent upon your unswerving compliance to the diktats of the technocratic state. A world where you have no inherent rights or freedoms, only temporary privileges that are granted to you based upon your total, unquestioning submission. A world in which you and your children are born into a permanent caste system from which there is no escape, where there is no hope for meritocratic progress or betterment beyond the marginal enticements of a higher social credit score. A world where ingrained deep within you is the knowledge that the slightest deviation from prescribed norms or mandated rules, the most minor infringement of action, speech, or even thought, will lead to immediate and automatic restrictions on your ability to travel, consume, or even access information, and where exclusion, expulsion, or worse, awaits those who do not submit completely to the will of the technocratic state. In such a world, your inherent value as a sentient, living, feeling human being will have been reduced to a mere cybernetic node, a collection of 100 million data points to be monitored and optimized by an all-knowing AI system that targets you with behavior modification technologies to condition you into unconscious compliance through rewards, punishments, and omnipresent panoptical surveillance. Forced to live in smart cities with little or no access to the natural world, you will no longer be a free human being. You will be something else, and your children and all those that follow will be condemned to live this same inhuman existence, in perpetuity, never able to break free or even conceive that another type of world was even possible. Feel into this world. Allow yourself to be immersed in the horror of this dystopian nightmare. Feel the visceral, organic knowing within you that this is not right. You know in your heart that this goes against everything it means to be a sentient, living, breathing, loving, feeling human being. You know in the very marrow of your bones that this is not what we came here for. This is not our future. For no human wants their children to be born, live, and die in a prison. But this is what they have planned for us. This is their great reset. And this is what will come to pass if we stand idle, silent, and do nothing. For hundreds of thousands of years, humanity has strived against adversity, overcome incredible odds, grown and flourished on this planet. Our species has persisted through ice ages and devastating global cataclysms, survived famines, floods and plagues and all manner of challenges that are now lost to the depths of mythical time. We have built unfathomable monuments of stone and steel, created artistic works of mesmerizing beauty, written great literature that illuminates the human journey and philosophies that attempt to make sense of our very existence. We've ventured to the bottom of the oceans, peered out into the farthest depths of the universe, and looked back into the most distant epochs of cosmic time. We've wrestled with the biggest questions of all. What is reality? Why are we here? What is the meaning of existence? What is the nature of love? And we have looked deep within ourselves and explored the nature and the mystery of our own consciousness. For we are explorers, we are poets, we are builders, we are intrepid, fearless adventurers, and together we are hurtling through infinite space on this beautiful, precious ball of rock, water, and life we call home. Each one of us is the culmination of an infinite number of miracles that stretch back to the beginning of time itself. We have not come this far, overcome so much, created such beauty, only to become mere cybernetic nodes in some soulless AI-driven machine, mere automatons in some vast, inescapable digital prison, to be corralled and tagged like cattle, or worse still, rounded up and exterminated like vermin. This is not our future. This is not the next chapter of the human story. Great wonders await us that are beyond our wildest imaginings. But first we must collectively wake from our slumber, see through the lies and propaganda, and have the courage to fully acknowledge the world that these self-appointed high priests of technocracy, these architects of dystopia, have planned for us. Only then, when we face the Leviathan head-on, when we stand together, united in purpose and reject unequivocally their diabolical plan, can we begin to start building the more peaceful, harmonious, beautiful world that our hearts know is possible. But let us not underestimate what we are confronted by. For if the last 2.5 years have taught us anything, it should be that those who are behind this agenda do not value life, they do not cherish liberty, and they certainly do not care about the well-being of humanity. They are ruthless, they are determined, and they are completely committed to creating the dystopian world described here. For them, there is no room for negotiation, and there is no plan B. They know that humanity is awakening, and they are making a dash for the finish line, and I believe there is nothing they will not do to see their plans come to fruition. Cyber attacks on critical infrastructure, starvation and societal breakdown, the release of biological pathogens, regional and even global conflicts are all in their playbook. But in reality, deceit, division and fear are their most powerful weapons, and therefore the best way to derail their agenda and avert this catastrophe is to collectively awaken, to see clearly the world they have planned for us, to be courageous and above all, to stand united. It is vital that we do not succumb to fear, fall into the trap of violence, fall prey to the tactics of division, or retreat into isolation and pure self-preservation. We must listen to the better angels of our nature and support each other as we rise to the challenges that lay ahead. For if we look within ourselves, we will find deep wells of strength and boundless reserves of love that lay at the core of our very being. Together, we the people have the power, and we owe it to our descendants to bequeath to them a free and harmonious world. Brothers and sisters, this truly is a pivotal moment in human history, for the future trajectory of the human race will be decided in the decade to come. Will our future be a global techno-feudal totalitarian surveillance state, populated by transhuman cybernetic nodes, in which the human spirit will be completely crushed and real freedom will be all but unthinkable? Or will it be the beginning of a new era of peace, prosperity and harmony, a new renaissance in which the human race will wake from its trance, rise to the challenge to become a wise steward of this beautiful planet we call home, and ultimately take our place amongst the stars? It is up to us, every single one of us alive today, to decide what that future will be. Now is the time to choose. If this message resonates with you, if you know deep within your being that something is wrong, I ask you to share this message with your family and friends, for the time to act and the time to awaken is now.